I'm thankful for the change that took place in my heart when I came to know Jesus. And I hope you have that same testimony that the difference that the Lord Jesus makes is truly indescribable. It is a wonderful joy to know Christ as our Savior. And I'm thankful for the spirit of singing tonight and just worship and just an exciting time for our church. And like I told the church earlier, I'll be bringing a message, but I also want this to be a personal time for us to just have some family time together to talk about what the Lord has laid on my heart. Some of you may know this, but back in October, and I hope to do this every year, maybe even a little earlier, I took somewhat of a retreat. I took about 2 days and went off to a place where it was secluded, without any distractions, didn't have the television, internet. I mean, it was just me and my Bible, and I just prayed and sought the Lord and just spent a lot of time with Him and asking what the Lord would have us do in the coming year. And church, thank you for allowing me to have that opportunity to do that. But during that time, I prayed, and I'm so thankful how the Lord worked in that time as I read over Scripture and passages and just praying, Lord, what would You have us do in the coming year? What could be the thing that You would have us as a church? What do we need, Lord? Where do we need to grow? Where do we need to focus? And the Lord did answer that prayer, and for that I'm so very, very thankful. And tonight my plan is to reveal that theme to you. We're going to do that here in just a moment. I want to bring out some thoughts around that theme, but throughout the year I'm going to come back to this theme, and we'll hit it in different areas, and I'll talk about that more as we will be looking at our year calendar, the things that we have coming up. But this is the theme that God has impressed upon me, that what I felt we needed, and I personally need as your pastor. And I'm thankful what the Lord knows best and know what we need and this time. And of course, you know, everything we do is not going to revolve around this theme. But a lot of what we do in the coming year will. So thankful for this opportunity to be together as a church. And for me to cast the vision out. And I just want to say, even starting off, thank you, church, for the enthusiasm that you've showed. For the support you showed to me in building up to this night. And your excitement and telling me, hey, Pastor, we're looking forward to the theme. We're looking forward to seeing what 2017 has in store. And I just want you to know how much of an encouragement that is to me personally. And I believe God's going to bless that in a mighty, mighty way. You know, when I went to the mission field back in 2011, the end of 2010, 2011, I didn't know exactly what I was getting into, and learned a lot of new things. And by the way, God does that, doesn't He? He doesn't give us all the details before He calls us to a place, before He leads us in a direction or whatever. God doesn't always give all the details, although we want them. But I learned so many things when I went out to the mission field. First of all, it wasn't so bad. God gave me a little bit of a breaker, a little bit of a buffer, if you will, by allowing us to go to France first. So we did get an element of culture shock for a year, over a year, when we were in language school, and I had to speak like a kindergarten for about 6 or 7 months on the same level, even going to the grocery store. I want egg. And that was quite embarrassing and humbling, you know, and many things. I could give many stories about that, but there's a lot of adjustments to the culture there. And so there was that cultural adjustment, language barrier, and the French culture is very different as well, but it is a first world country, so we had all the technology. But that was a buffer, because then we went to Niger. And friends, that was a whole different ball game. I tell people, listen, don't even talk to NASA. If you want to go visit a different planet, you come to Niger. It is a different planet. And for so many reasons, it is just a different world. You're just stepping in a different time zone, it seems like, and in so many ways. But there are a lot of adjustments when we moved to Niger. And one of the things, of course, was that was definitely there was
the religion that was predominantly there, which was Islam, but then also the conditions that we were around. Just third world, Niger is definitely, Niger and Haiti switch places about every other year as being the poorest countries in the world. And the poverty was just I can't even explain it to you. I wish I could, but I can't. It's just that extreme. But there were some adjustments there and whatnot. But you know, one of the things, even in those conditions, I had some things to be thankful for. And one of those, believe it or not, is how far technology had come through the years, even out in the Sahara Desert, even out in the place to where we were ministering. I mean, folks, you want to talk about something weird? Is watching one of these Tuareg men who look like they came from 700 B.C. riding a camel talking on a cell phone. Now, folks, that is weird, okay? That is something that you had to adjust to. But cell phones are out there. Even internet is out there now. They had when we left, they had just moved from 2G, I guess, to 3G that you could get, and it's just unbelievable. And you say, well, preacher, where are you going with all this? Well, I want to make an analogy here about this technology, because when I got there, one thing I didn't realize until I started talking with a veteran missionary. My friend David Edens, who had did the same thing that I did 40 years earlier. He went to France. He and his family left the States in 1972, and 1973 spent there in France, and then in 1974, God led them to Niger, Agadez. And after talking with him, folks, I couldn't believe the difference in just 40 years. In 40 years, he told me, now listen, he would say, Brother Brinson, let me explain some things to you that we did when we first got out here. He said, let me tell you some things we went without. He said, we went without any type of telephone. Definitely not a cell phone, but not even a landline. And the letters that they were able to send, they did have a mailing system, but it would take 3 to 4 months to get a letter if it came then. 3 or 4 months to send out a letter. The technology was not there. They weren't able to call home and different things of that nature. Things that we take for granted to get for cooking utensils, you couldn't even find there. You had to make things from scratch so much. I mean, just it's unbelievable the things that you can find in the market now in Niger. I mean, they're selling, speaking of technology, they're selling memory cards. They're selling USB sticks and they're selling telephones and different things of that nature. But they went without. And listen, this is crazy now. I'm just going to be honest with you, because folks, we need to... You say, well, that's gross, Pastor. Listen, it's reality. When they first got there, there was no toilet paper. You say, ew. Well, hey, it's reality. They didn't have it. They went without it. And praise God, I'm here to testify they had it when I got there. And I am thankful for that. But you see, there's a lot of things that they learned to do without, a lot of things that they went without. But over the years, those things started coming in. And they were able to use those things for their advantage. What a blessing that was. I want to tell you, by the time I got to Agadez, 40 years after the Edens arrived, they went from sending out letters that took 3 to 4 months. And get this, church, I arrived and I could call back to the United States of America on my computer and see my family's face and talk to them like that. 40 years. I had one Nigerian brother in Christ. He was just floored at the fact that I was talking to somebody across the ocean and that I could see them. The technology, the things that had come along, and how the Lord gives blessings in that nature, and how thankful I was for that communication, and how thankful I was that so many other things were accessible to my wife for cooking, even though a lot of things were still from scratch. There are many things that were just that we had that they did not when they arrived. But one thing's for sure, through the years, they appreciated the changes. And the things that changed and came to their advantage that they use as resources. And that's going to go along with what the theme I'm about to introduce to you tonight. You see, the very fact that we here in 2017, we need to realize as a church that we need to use all the resources that God has given us to use that are within biblical principle. Anything that does not violate the Word of God, we need to be ready to say, God, help us to make the necessary changes with the way our area is changing. I mean, for instance, 40 years ago, Pastor Edens, he could only witness by giving someone a Bible or writing out a personal message. Fast forward 40 years later, what do we have to be able to use? We have memory cards that we can buy by the hundreds. And those Touaregs can buy radios in the market. And man, they're spreading all over the desert. And they actually have Bluetooth on their phones. And they're changing verses from phone to phone out in the Sahara Desert. And so there's been a constant, if you can let me use this term, renewal. That word renewal in the New Testament and even in the Old Testament carries the idea of changing to be more effective. And it also carries the idea of repairing things that need to be fixed. That idea of renewal we see in the Word of God, it has the idea of becoming better. Improving for the sole sake of being more effective for Jesus Christ. Hey, these young men that play ball, you ask them anything. When they go into practice, what is the main goal they're doing? They're trying to be changed, to be better football players, to get out there and to be more effective when they get out there at game time. And listen, can I tell you tonight, church, that is God's will for the local church. It is God's will for the local church to grow, to be more and more effective. It is to be renewed. And that is the theme of for our year of 2017, and it's a Bible turn. Can you go to Ephesians chapter number 4? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And I'll begin reading in verse number 23. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 says this, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Church, that is the subject and the theme that God has impressed upon my heart for this year, is that term right there that you see, the two words at the beginning, be renewed. I believe that it is God's will for God's people to continually be renewed. This is not a one-time event, dear friend. Yes, there is a renewal at the time of salvation when a person becomes born again. But can I tell you something? After that, there's a continual renewal. How do I know that? Look over with me in the book of Titus. And this is where the Lord initially began speaking to me about this subject and laid upon my heart that this is what He wanted us to have as our theme in the coming year. And that is this. Titus chapter 3. And I'll begin reading in verse number 4. "But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us," get this church, "by the washing of regeneration," that's being regenerated, born again, "and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." You see, this work of renewal, just like the work of regeneration is of the Holy Spirit, this work of change, in our own hearts, in our own church, to be more effective for Christ is also done by the Holy Spirit. It is a work of God's Spirit that we seek to be renewed as His people. Brother Mike, would you be able to go ahead and show the folks our banner and that goes along with our theme? And the survey says, I'm just kidding. This is our theme, church. Be renewed in 2017. And I thank God for the friend of mine that designed this for us, because the sun does simply bring renewal, does it? But more than the sun for physical things, thank God it's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who brings true renewal. And He is the one, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit, is going to bring renewal to our church. It's going to get us to where we need to be. And I'm so thankful and I'm looking so forward to what God will do through this theme. You know, let me give you a couple points here before we go into our PowerPoint presentation about this thing of renewal. Now, you'll remember what the idea that renewal gives. It's used throughout the Bible. We see the word renewed, we see the word renewing, and we see the word renew throughout our King James Bible. And it all has the connotation, is synonymous in its use of just simply allowing God to bring forth change into our life. And as I mentioned this morning, that is a part of vision. To come to the point where we realize, listen, there is a constant change that needs to be. Now, here's some things that I will say right off. One thing that does not change, that is God's Word. It stays the same. But where is a constant change into the child of God, to being more and more like the Savior, to be more and more used and effective for the glory of God? I want to give you four areas that I feel like our church needs to find some renewal and to be renewed in the coming year. Now, these are some things that I have just observed as your pastor. I've been here exactly 5 months. The Lord has allowed us to be here in church. I want you to know, please hear my heart on this. I am so very thankful to be here. And I am so very thankful to be your pastor. I cannot think of any other place on this earth other than heaven. Like I said, on earth, I cannot think of any other place to be than right here in Athens, Georgia, at Crooked Creek Baptist Church. God has given me a love for you that I can't explain. And Joanna will say the same thing. And how thankful I am that. Church, I want you to know, I am here to be your pastor, to love you, to come alongside you, and to help you and to encourage you. I want you to know, I know that you are the same for us. You're here to help us. I've spoken with several of you recently revolving around some of these things, and I just want you to know, I have grown, Joanna has grown in our Christian walk just from your examples. Talking with you, seeing your heart, and being in your homes, God has challenged us and used your testimonies. And how thankful I am for that. Here are some areas that, again, as I studied the Word and prayed those days, and I've been praying up to this point, here are some areas that I'm praying that we will truly be renewed in 2017 and, of course, in the years to come. That first point is our compassion for the lost. Our compassion for the lost. You know where it says there in Acts chapter 1, let me read it for you. You can go there if you want. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Again, He's the same one that's bringing that renewal. And I want to tell you, if there's something that we need to constantly be growing in and becoming better in, that is in the ministry of reaching souls for Jesus. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that will be a renewal that we will ask for, that we will say, "Lord, renew," as the psalmist said, "a right spirit within me." Oh God. In many churches, let's just be honest, the Great Commission can quickly become the Great Omission. You know, can I say this with much soberness? Thriving churches have the Great Commission as the centerpiece of their vision. Listen, the Great Commission, and I'm not just talking about Ford missions, but I'm talking about, as Jesus said right there in that text, He says, you shall be witnesses, first of all, in Jerusalem. We can't neglect our Jerusalem church. And we will do our best to ask God to renew our burden for our Jerusalem. What is our Jerusalem? It's Jackson County. It's Athens Clark. It's all around us. All those that we can reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ, those in our vicinity. They're in these big metropolis areas such as Arcade and Nicholson. But then we have Jefferson and so on and different areas of folks that I want to tell you something. There are folks that are being unreached in our own Jerusalem. And we're going to try to make a change in that area. Can I say a couple things here? Some areas that I'm asking God to renew us, and I'm going to try to move through these quickly. You can jot these down because I really want you to be thinking about this as we pray on it and ask God to renew us. But this thing in compassion for the lost, I'm asking, number one, that God would give us a renewal in our community involvement. Us getting out there and making ourselves available. Get this. Please, nobody throw any tomatoes at me, but even non-religious activities. Community things, picking up litter on the roads, or helping someone, helping a cleanup, or whatever the case may be in some areas. Man, I tell you what, folks, listen, I'm just bragging on the Lord here, but the other day when we had a group to go and help the public school here, South Jackson, for their fall festival, those people, I could tell, it made a sure impression upon their hearts that we as a church would take a group of people over there and to work those sporting booths, those games for those kids to play and hand out candy. It wasn't anything, really, but I want to tell you what it was. You know what it was? It was being the witness we need to be in our Jerusalem. And I pray to God that Crooked Creek will not be a church that says, us four no more. And not be afraid to step out into the community and make ourselves known and to build relationships with people and love them and help them. But we see our community involvement, and then specifically those things, but then also something we're going to see in the coming year is direct obedience to evangelism. Now I'll be showing you here something in a minute, church, I think you'll be really excited about. We're going to call it Grow. Grow teams. The challenge, though, is the curriculum we'll study is called Take It Personally. And we're going to have I'll go into it more in a moment, but what we're going to have is I'm praying for 100% involvement. Anywhere down from junior age all the way up to our senior citizens, I am praying for 100% involvement. You say, well, what do you got us doing, preacher? Well, that is going around and juggling before doors. I'm just kidding, okay? Some of you guys are like, it will be an opportunity for us to work as a team, as a body, to share the gospel with the people in our community. It will consist of right around five categories. We'll have those that will go and knock on doors, and we'll have those that will go with them and that will pray for them. I appreciate it so much. I had Jeremiah and several of these other teenagers go with me a few weeks ago, and one time they even went it without me, and man, they got those flyers out and just real quick door hangers inviting people to our fall festival, and we're going to be doing more of that. We're going to have what we call our canvassers, those that just go door to door to put a door hanger there and to keep going. Then we're going to have our support team. Those will be those that can stay here at the church and pray and seek God's face as we're out there sharing the gospel. Be those that perhaps can work in the nursery, perhaps don't feel comfortable or not physically able to go out, but would come and pray and help the nursery, help with snacks, drinks, whatever the case may be. We would have those that that would be willing to help out, maybe make phone calls, perhaps to address tracts and letters. And we're going to have an opportunity for everybody to get involved so that everybody can be a part of taking it personally. Now, can I say this? This will involve us stepping out of our comfort zone. It really will. And more ways than one. You know, but again, we got to ask ourselves, do we want to change? You say, that's not me. I don't want to get involved with that. Wait a minute. If that is the spirit you have, you're not willing to be renewed. You're not willing to be challenged and brought out of your comfort zone to be strengthened, to be more effective. Because there will be opportunities, and there'll be strong. We're going to plug in where you feel like your strong point is. We're going to have a sign-up list. We're not going to force you to do anything. It will be on a volunteer basis. But we will strongly encourage it, and we will make it available to where you feel like is your strong point. We would never make you do anything that you were not comfortable doing. I want you to know that as your pastor. Because I really believe that we should give people the ability to do things where they feel like they are strong in, where God has gifted them in. And perhaps when there might be a stretching time, you can step out into another area, but that will be you led by God's Spirit to do that. But we'll talk more about that. But listen, another thing that will be uncomfortable. Now listen, remember I said this was going to be a family time, didn't I? Y'all mind if I just be real transparent with you and just talk with you about this? When we start going out and really engaging and talking to people about the Lord, I'm telling you, God is going to save people's souls. But can I tell you something, church? I'm trying to be as gracious and loving in this, and I just want to talk to you. It's going to involve reaching people that don't necessarily look like us. It's going to involve reaching people that don't talk like us. And when I say us, I mean people that are mature in Christ and that have been growing. It's going to involve people that will come from different backgrounds and different scenarios, and it's something that we as a church will learn. We're going to have to step out of our comfort zone. Perhaps it will be people that you have a hard time relating to, but you have to step out of your comfort zone to make a point to. You got to reach their hearts, and we got to build relationships. Listen, can I even bring it down to you more? I do not want Crooked Creek Baptist Church to be a standard-centered church. That is not God's will. This church is to be a Christ-centered church. Now, does that mean we throw standards out the door and down the drain? Absolutely not. That would be taking the opposite and extreme of what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying letting people come in as they are and reach them as they are with all their broken pieces like we've all been before and like we are even certain days, and bringing them as they are and loving on them and teaching them and spending time with them and encouraging them and letting God's Spirit speak to them in His timing. We don't do this, and I thank God, but there's been the extreme of measuring sticks and at the door, ushers checking ladies out or whatever the case may be, and different things. Listen, that stuff right there is ungodly. We're not going to do that. How can you reach people with that type of attitude? We let God's Spirit bring a renewal in their hearts as we give the Word of God. We're not going to look down on anybody that looks different than us. We're going to encourage them and love them, and we'll realize we all come from different backgrounds and we're all at different stages of maturity in our Christian life. That right there will bring a spirit of renewal, but I know it's going to be stepping out of our comfort zone. But God will bless us for that. God will help us in that. And you know, and you, I hope you know, that your pastor is not suggesting that we simply throw all standards out the door of holy living. Absolutely not. But if we're going to be evangelistic, like God requires us to, even Jesus understood that there is an element of time for that person's heart to be changed by the Holy Ghost. And that, my friend, is what I hope that we will do and be renewed in. It is simply being willing to meet people where they are and walk alongside them and love them and help them and encourage them any way we can. People that just want to learn more. Listen, I tell you what, I know there are people out there that have even no knowledge. They wouldn't even know the difference between a Baptist and a Methodist. Hey, listen, I grew up in the Southern Baptist Church, baptized at the age of 10. Listen, I went down to Miami in the Coast Guard, and I went to this independent Baptist church and had no idea whether it was an independent Baptist church. I didn't know the difference between any Baptist. I didn't really know any difference between the Methodist. I didn't know any difference between any of them. And that's the same thing around here. We got people don't know the difference between an ESV, KJV. They don't know the difference. They don't know anything about Calvinism. Calvinism, isn't that a cartoon or something? Calvin Hobbes, something like that? Folks, here's the danger. A lot of times in our churches, and I'm not downing this, I'm not discrediting this, but a lot of times in churches like this, where we grew up in the Christian home, and thank God for that. What a glorious testimony, and God be the glory for that. But a lot of times, an effect of that can be that you lose sight and understand people are coming from a totally different context. It takes time to reach them, to teach them, to love on them, and lead them along. That is something I'm asking God to renew my heart in, and to renew our church in. It's called compassion. And I believe that the Lord will do that. We're looking at starting a new converts class. And we're looking at and several other instances where we will be able to be more effective in reaching all of our community. And that is something that I am thankful for and will rejoice in. Can I say this one too? When it comes for this, this is another practical way of having compassion for the lost, and you'll see this in a minute. And you may say, well, preacher, this really, how does this add up? I'll try to explain. I believe we can be more effective by being the missionaries God's called us to be effective with the gospel. I believe we can be more effective by improving our facilities. That is why earlier, and I guess it was probably about 2 months ago, I'm not sure exactly how many days it was, but I sent out, remember those index cards that I gave you? I am so thankful for those cards. You guys did a phenomenal job filling those out. And I just want you to know, whoever put Starbucks Cafe, we're getting it, okay? I'm kidding. But there were so many great ideas on those cards. And let me be more specific on this, improving our facilities. I mean some updates. And we'll talk more specifically about some of those here in a moment. I don't want to go too much in detail of that. But here's the bottom line. When we look at updating things like our nursery, I want to tell you something. That will help our evangelism. When we're out inviting these dear folks in our community to come and to worship with us and grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, hey, the millennials, my age, those that come in with young families, one of the first things that they will look at, church, is the nursery. They will look whether it's dated. They will look at the things that are there, the order that is there. And that's something that we want to make sure is excellence. We want to make sure that we are providing those means to having our facilities up to date and things of that nature. And we'll talk more about that here in a minute. But it is important. Do we do building projects and do we do fancy things to improve our facilities to get the show of man? No, that's vain. We're in a world of trouble if we're doing it for that reason. We're doing it to be more impactful for the gospel's sake. Hey, I'm all for doing something if, as long as it does not contrary to this book, I am 100% for doing it if I can be more effective for Jesus Christ. That's the way we look at these things, church. That's the way we're going to look at the things that we're asking God to renew us in. Lord, would you help us? I'm going to move through these very quickly. And I'm going to come back and I'll preach on them because, again, this is an overview. But not only am I asking God for us to have a renewal in our compassion for the lost, but then number two, I'm asking the Lord to give us a renewal. And this is where we're going to get, it's going to hit home here. And our visitors, you just bear with us. And I'm glad you're here. But you're going to hear our heart. Okay? I want us to be renewed in our care for each other. Our care for each other. That is exactly what Jesus said about how will people know that we're true Christians, that we're true disciples. You know what Jesus said? He said that you love one another. That's not shallow love, friend. That's agape love. That is unconditional love. That ye love one another. And again, we at different stages, hey, may be from different backgrounds and different personalities. Listen, I know sometimes that can be a little difficult, but not when God's Spirit is controlling us and there is a renewal taking place. And that's why our theme is be renewed. I want us to be renewed in our care for each other. Listen to what Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 says. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, the church in Ephesus, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Listen to what he says. With all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Doing what? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Hey, listen, can I say this, church, and you know it, it takes work to keep unity. Ask anybody, any married couple here, if they're honest, they will tell you that flat up, straight up, no questions asked. The unity takes work. And I'm praying that God would give us a renewal in our unity, in our lowliness, in our meekness, and with our suffering long, and get this, forbearing one another. Brother Hunter hit that this morning with the young men on forbearance. Perhaps setting aside perhaps a preference of mine for the sake of reaching another's heart. To keep peace with that individual. To show that individual love in spite of what they are showing forth. That's love. And if we're not careful, that unity can break up. Because instead of there being a lowliness and meekness and a long-suffering and a forbearing and endeavoring to keep the unity, there can start divisions among the church. And folks, we will not let the devil do that. We are asking God to give us a spirit of unity. But that includes great work. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. He says, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto what? Unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another. Get this. This is where it hits home, y'all. See that ye love one another with a pure heart. Hey, get it. Fervently. That's the Word of God, church. God does not want us to have a shallow love for each other. And I'm praying that God would give us a renewal of love for each other that's not shallow. Just a glance at each other and a nod to each other and even a hi to each other. But I'm praying that God would give us a love that goes much deeper. A care for you. What is your name? Where are you from? What do you like to do? What is your favorite food? What is your favorite Bible verse? What do you like to do for fun? Hey, getting to know, what are your burdens? What are you troubled about? But sometimes we get so caught up and just going about our things, and the times we do have something that's hello. And then if we're not careful, we will just concentrate on how different that other brother or sister is from us. And that becomes the focus. It's not a fervent love. I'm convinced if we're going to meet people and help people, there has to be a fervent love, a pure heart fervently. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 10 says. I love this. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. How about provoking each other to love? All right, I'm going to get into some realm that it's going to be a little personal, okay, guys? Y'all just bear with me. Just love on me. Give me nice, happy looks. Make sure I'm not in trouble. All right. Listen, this is an area I'm asking God to renew us in. I'm burdened about our age groups in our church being segregated. The awkward barriers that are between some of our age groups in our church. We are not to be a segregated church. Yes, we will have different classes and different groups for special activities, especially our young people, for instance, our young at heart, for instance, and it goes around. Yes, we have, but there should always, especially when we're together, there should be a unity there that comes from the Spirit of God. But listen, that will take work. That will take work. It means being gracious, forbearing, and caring for one another. Listen, I want to challenge you here for a moment, please. Teenagers, here and throughout the auditorium, I want to encourage you and exhort you as your pastor to try your best to do more in building relationships with the older people of our church. Perhaps the young at heart, or perhaps they're middle age, even other than your parents, of course your parents, but others going up and speaking to them. Going up and saying hello to them and ask them how their week's been and just seeking to show them a care that comes from your heart, comes from a renewal of the Holy Spirit. And can I say also, our adults here, would you do the same thing? Listen, I know teenagers look scary, okay? But you need to engage them, church. Don't get mad at me, please. If the only time that you approach the teenagers is to correct them, you are doing nothing to build a relationship with them. There needs to be relationship building. Asking them again how their day is going, how their week's going. I know teenagers are notorious for the yes-no answers. But that's okay. Talk to them anyway. And I know they can have their ways about them that sometimes it just irritates you, but guess what? You irritate them too. I heard those amens. Silent AMs. Amens. But there, you see my point here, church, is I'm asking God for us to be renewed in our care for each other. And not to be segregated, but there needs to be relationship building and mentoring, spending time with our young people. And listen, you will have to take the initiative a lot of times, adults, but I'm praying our young people will take the initiative as well and seek to reach their hearts. And we talk, the Bible talks about the hearts being turned to the parents, but I want to tell you something too, you know what, or the fathers, but you know, the parents, the fathers and mothers' hearts need to be turned to the young people. It needs to go both ways and that we seek to love each other with a fervent love. It's going to take a denial of self. It's going to take forbearance. Those situations where someone does something that aggravates you, something that puts you the wrong way. Hey, instead of scouring, why don't you go to that person with a smile and with love and say, hey, listen, man, I would love to take you out. I'd love to take you out sometime for coffee or go get a bite to eat together. I'd just like to share my heart with you and get to know you a little better. You know what that says, church? That says care. It says I care about you. And that is what we need. We need a renewal of our care for one another. Can I say this? This is a book that I'm looking forward to reading more in depth and even teaching. It's called Passionate Parenting, Enjoying the Journey of Parenting Teens. And this thing on the back just says it all. Just breaks your heart. Parents, for the past several years, young adults have asked me to write a book to their parents. Their cry is always something like this. Listen to what this teenager wrote to Carrie Smith. Please ask our parents. Please ask our parents to re-engage with our lives. They are busy. They think we don't care. They manage our behavior, but they have forgotten our hearts. Please ask them to care about our hearts. So here it is, a plea from this generation's young people and a biblical call to return to the extraordinary responsibility of passionate parenting. Listen, that says it all. We need to reach each other's hearts. Stop trying to change each other's surface and just force conformity and reach each other's hearts to grow together in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen? That is a renewal of the Holy Spirit. Because the truth is, I'm not going into it, but we are a body. Whether you want to be a part of the body, listen, you got to be a part of the body. If you've joined this church, you're part of the body. And you are important. Hey, teenagers, I want you to know we need you. There is nothing insignificant about any teenager that is here. Each one is so important in the eyes of God and are extremely important to this local church functioning for the glory of God. And I believe that we need to understand that they are important and the young at heart. You know, there's another lie there that the devil says, young at heart, you're done, you're finished, your days are over. I want to say, young at heart, you are in the prime of your life. You have the wisdom that this church needs. You have the experience that this church needs. You've seen the hand of God move. We need you. I want to say, every person here, this church needs you. God needs you because He chooses to need you. He is sovereign and He could get on without us, but He has chosen our body. And it is so clear in Scripture that when one part of the body suffers, all the body suffers. We need each other, don't we? We sure do. Let's show that. Let's reach out and be fervent in that. And then, the last one I'll see here, in a renewal that I see. We see a renewal in our compassion for the lost, our renewal for care for each other. But then I want us to see a renewal for our commitment to Christ-centered homes. I'm looking so forward to our family revival that'll be coming up in March. Pastor Camp will be coming and spending 4 to 5 days with us. And they'll do split sessions. Mrs. Camp will be here too. And it is going to be a joyous time. This man, he's got three grown daughters that are all living for the Lord. And he'll admit to you they've made mistakes. He's made mistakes. But he's very humble. He's not, I've arrived, you follow my principles and you will be guaranteed success. No, sir. He's a sinner saved by grace. He doesn't have it all together, but He will give us some truth from God's Word that will help you husbands, that will help you wives, that will help you teenagers. And it'll help us. And I believe it's going to be an awesome time that I'm looking forward to already in March and praying towards. But we're going to pray that God renew our homes.
a commitment to Christ-centered homes, and that includes renewal and family devotions. I'm praying that God would give us a renewal in that of the family altar, that when we go home at night and at the end of the night or the first thing in the morning, that we surround with each other and we read some Scripture and pray together. The Scripture memory I'm looking forward to, that we've got the books together. I'm praying that we'll be able to do that as a church, and you'll even be able to do it in your home. I've already heard several memorizing Scripture. Young people that have already said, I'm started, and told me what he told me what subject he's already in. I said, man, you're ahead of me. But quality time. I'm praying that there will be renewal and quality time. Listen, I believe that we have lost the hearts of our young people because there is missing that element of time. I heard that one time, you want to define love? Just spell time. Time is the word. That's what says love to our young people. I'm praying there'll be a renewal of that, of a personal interaction. Listen, there's nothing wrong with going to the ball game or watching a ball game and doing those things. Those are okay. Those are fun to do. I'm not saying that's bad. But we need more personal interaction with our young people. Looking at them in the eye and talking with them, playing a board game with them, or ministering alongside with them and just talking. Praying together. Oh God, I'm praying for renewal of prayer with our young people and with each other. A prayer in the home. I'm praying God would renew the Jennings household and our prayers as a family. My two children have yet to come to know Jesus Christ. And of course, Caroline, she's got verses memorized, but she hadn't come to salvation yet. But I'm praying for our children. I'm burdened about that. And I'm asking for a renewal at the family altar and ministering together. I want you to know, as your pastor, church, I want to make avenues for you to serve together as a family. And we're going to do that. We're going to do that. We're going to minister together. And that will be a renewal in our commitment to Christ-centered homes. How thankful I am. Because I believe that church, there will be a renewal in our church. Do you believe that, church? I believe it too, because I believe we have the Holy Spirit living in us. And I believe that He has promised us, to renew our minds, to renew our strength. Okay? And I believe it's so clear in the Word of God as we seek to this year that these areas I'm praying specifically that He would renew us in. Let me go with you through quickly some areas. What's the best way to do this, Brother Mike? Can I just use this control here? Or do you want to? Yeah, we'll go ahead and do the screen. Do we want to go ahead and do the song? Okay. Let's do that. To get up and stretch out a minute, we still got a little bit of time left.
If I could have a couple of ushers, or about four ushers to come up and pass these out.
A few ushers that would come. We're going to, just here in a moment, we're going to hand out this song. And once you get it, I want to explain it to you. We got some ushers here. Praise the Lord. The song that you'll be singing, I'm just thrilled about. I'm so thankful God has blessed our church with Brother Mike and Noel Swafford and their dear family. Love and appreciate each of them. And this song was actually written by Mike and Noel, and Noel specifically, okay? We did put in a little bit, didn't we? I even put my two cents in a couple areas. But she wrote the music and the words to this. And for this year, I asked her if she would be able to do that. And she put this together. And it's a chorus that we'll sing from time to time that goes with our theme. And just so thankful for it. So let's go through it a couple times, and then I want to show some slides.
I'm going to have Noelle play through it. And I'll kind of sing along while she's doing that. But follow along with the words, and then we'll sing it as a group.
Hey, fellas, can I get one?
Renew me, restore me, and cleanse me, O Father. Place your vision deep within. May your Holy Spirit cleanse my heart from all sin. On thy word only I stand. and cleanse me, Lord Jesus. Give me grace to do thy will. Renew my heart, O Lord, and glorify thy name. Renew our hearts again.
Just want to go through some of these slides here and just kind of go through them. I'm not going to spend a ton of time, but just kind of will give an overview of what's going on. Of course, this is our theme. Just in a moment, we got some things that we'll be giving you before you leave, and for our members and for our guests as well. We'll have some for you, and thankful that you're here. One of the first things I wanted to show is our new logo that will be going on like our tracks and some of our letterhead things, and perhaps even when we can get an updated sign out, will be this logo here. This is pretty much the final draft. We are going to modify maybe just a couple things, but we wanted to give the idea of the cross. We wanted to give the idea of growing. I'm thinking of a motto of grounded in truth, growing in grace, and going in love. That will be with that. And again, that will be with our new tracks that we'll be getting printed. We're going to try to get some nice church tracks that are evangelistic. They have the plan of salvation, but is more informational for, you know, letting people know who we are. But we'll be seeing that. Now, this is the one I was talking about being renewed in our compassion for the lost. We're going to go through this study. It's called Take It Personally. Everybody's getting one of these books. There will be couples that share it. If you want your own book, we will get you one. No problems. They're inexpensive, and it is worth it as we go through the study. But it's basically talking about our responsibility for the Great Commission. And in fact, that's what it says down there, a practical guide to owning and obeying the Great Commission, written by Paul Chappell. We'll be going through that on Wednesday nights. And again, we'll be building up to what I'm calling the grow teams. Be four teams, and hopefully, again, I'm praying for 100% participation, because I believe there will be an area everyone will be able to plug in. But what it will require and ask that you be faithful to once a month going out and helping with evangelizing. It may be here at the church praying. It may be writing a letter. It may be going and doing door hangers. Whatever the case may be, it may be helping with the nursery for that time so somebody else can go and do door knocking. But I'm praying that everyone would get involved. And it will be on Saturdays. We're looking at maybe Saturday afternoons. And again, it would just be asked that you do once a month. We'll have G team, R team, O team, and W team. And what we'll do is we're going to have a sign up. We're actually getting something on the website. It's already on there if you want to go ahead and start it. But I'll give more details next Sunday. But if you want to go look at it, it's on our website. And what it does, it gives you a place to put your name and the areas that you would be interested in helping us evangelize our community and reach them with the gospel and to show them that we care, that we are a church with compassion. Listen, it doesn't hurt my feelings to knock on a door and for a person to tell me, listen, I know the Lord, I'm going to such and such church. I say, praise God. But you know what? We leave that doorstep, that person will know, hey, listen, that church that just knocked on my door, they care. They care. And that's what I want this testimony, this church to have in this community, is that we care. And so this will be, I'm really, really looking forward to that. We'll begin it here in the next week as we begin our study. The grow teams, as I mentioned, we're going to be practicing using application, encouraging each other. It's going to be an awesome opportunity, guys, for us to grow in our witness and being able to do more for the Great Commission. A monthly visitation and outreach, and that will include some other areas that I'm going to talk to in just a second. But we'll be going in more in detail of this especially the next week. Part of this outreach is the Oaks. The Lord has opened us a door for us to go minister at the Oaks Assisted Living. And I am so excited about it. Folks, I can't tell you how encouraged I was with our teenagers the other day. And we had a couple families with us too. But we went and those people were encouraged. Teenagers, I want you to know you made a difference. You made an impact on those people. Just going and singing and ministering to them. And I'm hoping we can do more of that.
Hey, those people at the assisted living, listen, they matter. That's someone's grandmother. That's someone's grandfather. That's somebody that needs somebody. And like Brother Ricky told me the other day, I think we were talking about it. Listen, a lot of those people, no one visits. And I think that is a ministry where our church needs to be in. Hopefully we'll provide some preaching, we'll provide some singing. I'm hoping to get our young people involved, even in the music realm of playing their instruments and just reaching out. What a great opportunity we're going to have. Now that will be the fourth Saturday of every month. And so that will be an opportunity for you to go if you want to be necessarily, that's what all you wanted to do. We can arrange that. And so it will be an opportunity again for us to reach out. The next place God's opened up us to go, minister, is the Potter's House. The Lord has given us an awesome, awesome opportunity to reach those men and to encourage them in the Lord and to come alongside them. Brother Dan Bachman, they've invited us to come and lead a Bible study with a small group of men. They got small groups, and they've invited our church to come and help participate in that and to help lead a group. So Brother Dan Bachman is going to be leading a group there every week and discipling men, loving men, encouraging them. And then I'll be taking a group, however many we want to go. We could take the whole church if we wanted to. Wouldn't that be something? And we'd have to have it in the gymnasium, amen? But I'm going to go and I'll preach, and some of you guys that have called to preach, let you have opportunities to preach, and we'll take a singing group. The last time we went, Brother James, I want to tell you, the Spirit of God moved in a very special way. The men were encouraged, they were strengthened, I believe decisions were made, and I believe that will be another opportunity for us to fulfill the Great Commission in our community, reaching out. I'll tell you more about it. We got a special day coming up where we're going to go over there. I better hush. I don't want to tell you too much. All right. But that will be Sunday mornings every other month on Sunday. We got them picked out already. We got them scheduled through December. It will be 8:15 to 9:15. And so if that's something you'd be interested in and going over with me, I would love for you to be able to come. It will be a huge blessing to you. We also have the Teen Extreme Youth Camp coming up. This will be a little different for this church. It's not going to be in contradiction with NGM Camp. It's a couple weeks before. Oh, actually, we don't really know when NGM will be yet, but we're trying to find that out. But this is a little bit early, and I've decided just through prayer and how circumstances that we're going to take our 10th through 12th graders that want to go. And we will do our best to help with that, to give some sponsorship. It's very inexpensive. I think it's about $135 for the whole week, and that includes everything. And so Kenny Baldwin, one of my favorite preachers, will be preaching that week. And I believe, parents, I'm not trying to put any pressure on you, but I will believe that will be a life-changing week for your teenager. I truly believe that. And so we're hoping for good participation there. And that's June 19th through the 23rd. And that's down in Pensacola, Florida, at Pensacola Christian College. And by the way, it'll give our young people an opportunity to see a Christian college as well. And I think I would really, really enjoy that. And then, as I mentioned, the church facility updates. Now, let me go ahead and say this before I go any further. We'll be talking about these more in detail. I'm just giving you an overview. No final decisions have been made on these things. Anything that you see up here, the final decision will be made by the church voting on it. Okay? So everybody will have a say-so, but we were narrowed some things down that we really want to concentrate on updating, and they are the nursery. As I mentioned earlier, we want to update painting, carpet. We're working on getting some of the, what do they call them, Miss Susan? Pagers? Yeah, pagers. Yeah, the little, I always think of Outback Steakhouse, but those things that vibrate and light up. But, I like steak, don't I? But anyway, that's something that that we're going to update. So it just gives that testimony of, listen, we're organized here. We care about security. We care about your child. We want to be safe as possible. We want to have updated and whatnot. So, four-year remodeling. Okay, this would probably, out of all the updates, this is going to be one of the biggest ones. Just let me give you an overview, all right? what we are strongly considering at this point, and that is opening up our foyer to give us more space for several things, for fellowship, but also for more seating. All right? It is our vision as a church to grow, is it not? Amen. We want to do more. We want to see people saved and discipled and see the church grow. So therefore, we need more seating. Because I want to tell you something. You can argue all day long with these statistics, but it holds true across the board for most situations. Majority, let me say. There may be a couple special cases. But when a church reaches 70 to 80% capacity, usually the growth stops. That's just a fact. Because people, you know how we are as humans. Unless you've been coming here all your life or you've been coming here 20, 30 years, you don't like to be cramped. You like to have your personal space, okay? And that matters to people. And we want people, as we start growing, we want to, by opening up that foyer, we'd be able to put those nice pew seats in where they can be moved out easily. And it would also enable us to move the sound booth where Brother Sam is to where we've cut out a pew. That's doable right there because we'd move that pew over to this side and be a handicap accessible. But anyway, that sound booth would go back to the foyer right at the edge where Brother Derek's standing. It'll basically be right behind him and over to the door. And so that would open up our area for, again, fellowship, for a welcome center. You know, I'm all about a member center. Even though I forget that name all the time, but I'm also all about a welcome center. A place where I can go back there as these visitors begin coming in, where I can, right after the service, we'll have a nice little place where we can have water or coffee or just something set up and a gift where I can meet with our visitors. Nice looking place. And that will be over there. Now, what that would include is, again, it would open up this wall right here and the two side walls. This flower room, we're designating another place for our flowers that will remain inside the church, but we're going to relocate them. And so we're working through those details right now. We'll get you more, but I feel like that would make our church more visitor-friendly. And that's something that we want to work towards. And I've met with the finance committee meeting, and I've met with the men, and then we're going to talk about it even more. If you have any questions about it, I'll be glad to answer them, but I will be giving you more details in the next couple weeks, especially about prices and things of that nature. But I just wanted to give you an overview of what we would do. We would put new doors in up at the front, and seating could be an issue. Like, for instance, the cantata, it was really busy, packed. We only had 210 people. And this, in theory, this auditorium is supposed to be 250. That ain't happening. We can pack them in like sardines, but you better hope you sat somebody that took a bath that day or that night before. But anyway... That is something we want for the personal space to be, and I'm hoping to open that foyer up. Parking lot lights, we want to improve those. That's going to be a finance. Brother Ricky has done the best he could over the years, but he is even recommending, and our other men are too. We've talked about it. We need to just do the lighting system. The cables and the wires have gotten old and corroded, and so that's going to be a cost, but it's going to be important. If you hadn't noticed by now, I'm all about a lighted room. I don't like being in the dark. And my wife, her family, they love sitting in the dark. I have no idea why. But I think her dad's Dutch and he's really tight and he keeps all the lights off. But the fact of the matter is, we need to have lights on at our church. I don't want our place to look like a dark hole when people ride by. Like, what's that down there on the hill? It's a church! We want it to be lit up. So we want to be a testimony. Set up on a hill, amen? And that's what Jesus said. But anyway, warmer ovens. Women, can I say amen? That was one of the popular ones on the cards. And by the way, I noticed some handwriting wrote about 5 cards, okay? So I catch that. I'm just kidding. I didn't see that. But warmer ovens, man, again, why do we do that? We do it because we care about people. And again, these are small things, but I'm telling you, church, they matter. When our visitors come, and even us, we enjoy it. When you dip that spoon and put that, man, isn't it nice to see steam coming off that thing? But then the opposite. Now, you're going to be thankful, but man, that casserole that looks so good, and you put it in your mouth, and it's good, but it's cold. We want everything to be nice and warm for our visitors. And a warmer oven will enable us to do that, to keep those our ladies that work so hard to make these delicious meals. We'll put them in those warmer ovens as we're getting ready during the service to have that fellowship, and that will be a benefit. Also, a new refrigerator. Now, we will have a funeral service for this one over here before it leaves, okay? We need to respect that thing, okay? There's no telling how many things it's kept cool over the years and whatnot. But hopefully we can do something that will be a little bit bigger, give more space, look a little nicer, and not make that scary noise, okay? So, and then we're looking at getting security cameras for the parking lot. That is before our security team that we'll be setting up. I'll tell you more about that. We're going to set up a security room downstairs. We're still talking about where to put that. Perhaps in the Sunday where the Sunday school office is now, we're going to put a couple monitors, and that way our facilities will be more secure. They'll be able to observe and during the service, even from one spot. We'll have cameras out for the parking lot, and then for the doors, and then eventually, as the Lord leads, we would even consider getting cameras for our nurseries, again, for security. If some sort of accusation is made, well, hey, let's roll back and look at the cameras. It just covers us, even one for different areas of the church, just to have, again, our facilities more secure. And also, we want a security room, because I want to tell you something, folks, some of you may not realize this, but our security guys, a lot of times, they miss a lot of services. And as a pastor, that burdens me. And what I would like to do is get a central location where they can view the monitors and listen to the message, have direct access to that. And by the way, we're going to get those speakers fixed downstairs, too, for the nurseries. I know sometimes they're in and out. That is another thing we want to renew and update. We want to renew our facilities so that we may better reach folks for Jesus Christ and just function better as a church. Another thing I want to do is do live stream capabilities. This will enable people like the Tates that because of their physical illness, and Brother Tim especially, he's not able, especially this time of year, he has to stay at home. And how nice would it be for our shut-ins and those that are sick or traveling and can't go to a church, or for whatever reason, they can tune in to the live stream. And so I really am looking at getting together on that and getting a camera and to be able to live stream our services, our missionaries. I know as a missionary, man, Joanna and I used to love doing that. When we had internet that worked, we would find a supporting church, and man, we would tune in and just to hear songs and hear English and just be able to hear the Word of God in English, and it was just a blessing. And so there are many benefits to having live stream. And also, as the Lord grows the church, there will even be, like again, even after opening that foyer and putting chairs, if we were to continue growing without having to go through a multi-million-dollar building project to build a building, that may be down the road years, but one thing we could do with live stream is we can open up our fellowship hall and have a group of members, and we could just do it in shifts, you know, every other week or whatever, where a group would go to the fellowship hall and we would live stream up on the screen and just put those nice pew chairs in there, and would enable us to accommodate more people. Again, what is the purpose? Reaching more people for Christ. That is the goal. That is the vision. That is what we're asking God to renew us in. And so that is that. Special projects. This I want you to really be praying about, church, and I'm not even kidding when I say this. This was the most popular item listed on the note cards. That surprised me, but it is, and I understand why as a parent. That shows something right there. Number one, it shows that you care about your children. to give them the facilities to be able to play and have fun and have just a good time together. But it also shows that you're moving forward, that you are updating your swings. Just to tell you a little bit about those swings out there, Brother Mike can give you more details on this, but he does that for a living. He inspects these things, he sets up these things, and the one out there, he says, is a liability. He said the rust and the condition that it's in, it's going to need to be replaced. And so we want to do that. We want to end up replacing, we will end up replacing also the playground part with the slide. That is also a liability, the condition it's in. And we want to update. Unfortunately, I found out that those things are just, I couldn't even believe it, how crazy expensive those playground things are, the commercial style. But we're going to work towards that little by little. But I figured we could start off with getting swings and also a basketball court. At least a half court is what I would like to put back there. Brother Jeff Davis and I have been talking, and the men, I believe we could do it just with the men in the church pretty easily. But just enough to go back with a three-point line, get a nice basketball goal in that lowers as well for the little ones that want to play, and just put some nice lines out there, some nice lighting, and that again, that speaks volume, I believe. It says that we care about our young people, that we want them. Listen, I don't know whoever said this, that we shouldn't come to church to have fun. Well, what a fuddy-duddy that is. Yes, we can come to church to have fun. Amen? Now, that's not the only reason we come to church. The main reason we come to church is to worship and to grow in Christ and to learn God's Word and to sing. But also, God intends us to be able to enjoy fun time together too. And I want our young people to feel free to, invite friends to come to church with them and to play games with them, to fellowship with them. I think we can accommodate that, church. It's our vision. Again, what are we in it for? We're not doing this for pleasure. All of these things I'm talking about are centered upon the Great Commission, folks. We want to reach more people. We want to encourage more people. We want to make our facilities. We don't want to stay and maintain. We really want to grow. All right, then I'm excited about announcing a new study, Titus Sunday series. I'll be going and be preaching along with Daniel as well. Not the same time, okay, in the mornings. I'll say one for the morning, one for night, okay? But I'm looking forward to Titus. God laid that on my heart. That's where I initially got the theme for the year, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And I'm looking forward to going through that, the order it gives, and the challenge it is to me already in studying it, because it talks about the qualifications of a pastor. And I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit's already been beating me up on that one. But January, let me go through the calendar real quick, okay? I'm going to go through this quick. We'll begin our Bible study, taking it personally. We'll have a men's prayer breakfast just coming up this Saturday. Looking forward to that. The Oaks Outreach will begin January 28th. By the way, you'll be getting a church calendar with all these things on it plus some. All right, then February, we got a Young at Heart breakfast, Mrs. Stone, on February 4th, all right? She was already asking me about that. And we'll begin our Grow Team Outreach on February 4th. That's going to be a wonderful day. Couples Retreat, Augusta, Georgia, February the 10th through 11th. We got reserved a nice hotel. We're going to have a conference room, and that's going to be a couples retreat. It's going to be a Friday night and Saturday morning. I got a man that I greatly respect, Charles Surrett, and his wife will be coming and speaking for us, and we're going to make that extra special, and that is going to be a blessing. I'll be getting you more details on that. That'll be February 10th and 11th. And the Potter's House Ministry will be February 12th. Midwinter Youth Conference will be February 25th. I believe that is going to be either at Macedonia Baptist Missions or Buford, Georgia. But it's from what I'm reading on the literature, I'm looking forward to showing you teenagers. It looks awesome. Just the games they have, the preachers they have, and it looks like it is the real deal.